From the studios of Free Radio Santa Cruz, you're listening to Earth First Radio. Stay tuned for No Compromise news, views, poetry, and music.
You're cutting chainsaws, killing the trees, something, everything that lives in peace. Our animal friends are on the run, but there's nowhere to go when the job is done. How can we stand by while this all takes place? We've got to stop this inhuman race.
And welcome to Earth First Radio. I'm Uncle Dennis. Each week I bring you No Compromise news, views, poetry, and music for activists on the front lines of the environmental movement. In the news, you'll hear about corporations, government agencies, and people who are killing the planet, and the folks who have the detailed information about saving what's left. They all have names, addresses, phone numbers, fax numbers, email, or web addresses, so please get a pencil or a pen and some recycled paper to write down the information, because this isn't couch potato radio, it's activist radio, and I'm asking you to take down the information and act on it. You really can make a difference by writing letters, sending faxes, and making phone calls when you aren't out in the woods, up in the trees, or a tripod, or locked down in a dragon at the road blockade. If you have information, news, comments, or announcements for Earth First Radio, please keep that pencil handy and listen for the contact information later on in the show. Let's start out with your basic announcement here. This Thanksgiving, the Coos Bay Bureau of Land Management has announced that they will have a spotted owl feast. They have just released the Cedar Creek Timber Sale Environmental Analysis. It could be the first sale since the inception of the Northwest Forest Plan, where a federal agency is exercising their right to directly kill spotted owls, that is, three nesting pairs of spotted owls who dare to live in the Matrix. Matrix are open areas for logging and not reserved for spotted owls. The BLM proposes to clear-cut 189 acres of our public forest in the Cedar Creek sale. They are currently asking for your opinion before they make the final decision. You can email your comments before December 11th to coos_bay@or.blm.gov. That's coos_bay@or.blm.gov. If you want to see pictures of the sale and for more information, you can go to www.umqua-watersheds.org/blm/blmcoosbay.html. Anyway, go to www.umqua-watersheds.org, and I'm sure you can find your way there. If you have any questions or comments on this proposal, they can be telephoned to Terry Colby in the Coos Bay District Office. Her number, 541-756-0100. That's 541-756-0100, Monday through Friday, 8 to 4:30. Or you can send comments to Umpqua Resource Area, Coos Bay District Office, Bureau of Land Management, 1300 Airport Lane, North Bend, Oregon, 97459. Once again, that address, Umpqua Resource Area, Coos Bay District Office, Bureau of Land Management, 1300 Airport Lane, North Bend, Oregon, 97459. Or, of course, you can send them to coos_bay@or.blm.gov. Coming up, some actions in San Francisco at Union Square, December 16th and 17th. At noon, the Union of Concerned Santas says, "Fishers of Gap Incorporated extinguishing endangered species and exploiting desperate people just isn't the Christmas spirit. We will deliver no gifts purchased from the Gap, Banana Republic, or Old Navy this holiday season. The Santas will be caroling, leafleting, and exhorting holiday shoppers to give the gift of life instead to the forest and its threatened creatures and to workers in the form of a living wage. Meet at Union Square and then march to the Gap, Banana Republic, and Old Navy flagship stores. We need Santas, and they've got the suits to fill them. Elves to leaflet, too. Please contact Mary at 415-731-7924. That's 415-731-7924. 7924, or just show up in the appropriate attire. Again, that's December 16th and 17th, San Francisco, Union Square, 12 noon, and join the Union of Concerned Santas. The following weekend, Saturday and Sunday, December 22nd and 23rd, again at San Francisco's Union Square at noon. It's a bird, it's a plane. No, it's the Anti-Gap Alternative Shopping Van. Join the Union of Concerned Santas in our crazy, fun-filled Anti-Gap Alternavan. Ready to drive adventure-loving San Franciscans and tourists to wonderful alternative shopping destinations. There's thrift stores in the Mission. Anyone, once again, if you want to get involved with this, 415-731-7924. And then on Christmas Eve, there will be caroling at the Fisher's Laurel Heights neighborhood. It's like trick-or-treating on Halloween, but where the Fishers had their Gap security guards on hand to dole out candy at their gate, they'll be singing sweatshop and deforestation carols on the Fishers street corners. Once again, the number, 415-731-7924. And join the Bay Area mobilization to defend the Mattole. The Mattole Valley and Rainbow Ridge are part of the Lost Coast in Humboldt County, California. Join the noble struggle to save the second largest ancient Douglas fir forest remaining in California from Maxam Pacific Lumber. Contact ACORN at 415-337-1609. That's 415-337-1609. Or Lynx in the East Bay at 510-656-7767. That's 510-656-7767 to find out about Bay Area carpooling up to the Mattole. Or you can contact the Mattole Defenders if you can get there on your own. If you'd like additional information or any other action you can take, the Mattole Defender number, 707-441-3828. That's 707-441-3828. Or send email to MattoleDefense@yahoo.com. That's Mattole Defense, MattoleDefense, at yahoo.com. Hey, there's a new book out. This one's called Kindred Spirits, Sacred Earth Wisdom, and it's the latest release from Jesse Wolfe Hardin with a foreword by Ralph Metzner. If you are interested in getting this new book, you can call 800-366-0264. That's 800-366-0264. Or you can contact the publishers on email at pam@fifthworld.com. It's published by Swan Raven Press, 2000. Once again, 1-800-366-0264. Of course, available from all your local distributors like Book People, New Leaf, Baker & Taylor, and Ingram Books. Want to see the Casey Neal Trio? They're going to be opening for Mad Pudding December 6th and 7th. On the 6th, they'll be in Eugene, Oregon at Sam Bond's Garage, and in December 7th at Portland, Oregon at the Snake and Weasel. The Casey Neal Trio will be in Bellingham, Washington at the Wild Buffalo on Thursday, December 14th, and in Anacortes, Washington at the Watertown Pub on Friday and Saturday, the 15th and the 16th. And then on Sunday, Casey Neal single at the White Eagle with Dave Carter and Tracy Grammer's Songwriter Night. Some places to see Casey Neal. Let's move into our alerts. Sierra Nevada logging is suspended. Hey, good news. The U.S. Forest Service is to halt timber sales and most harvesting from forests in the Sierra Nevada and nearby ranges, according to the Sacramento Bee. Nearly 3 months suspension to begin December 11th, almost 2 months after a coalition of environmentalists sued the Forest Service in a bid to protect the habitat of the California spotted owl and the Pacific fisher, a small furry tree-dwelling weasel. It will impact operations across 11 million acres of California and Nevada forests. The spokesman for the Forest Service is available for comment. Quote, we strongly disagree with them on the merits of the lawsuit, but we felt it doesn't make sense to rush into court and shoot from the hip on all these complex issues. Edmund Brennan, an assistant U.S. attorney, was quoted by the Sacramento Bee. Brennan said the logging suspension would probably not have much economic impact at this time of year because winter snows and wet roads have curtailed logging activity. The suspension is due to end on March 1st of next year. Unless, of course, the court decides the suspension should be permanent. The U.S. Forest Service is once again turning to the court system in yet another attempt to punish someone who had the audacity to use a national forest for recreational benefits while failing to pay the required $5 recreation fee. Once again, the penalty being sought by the U.S. Forest Service is not the $100 maximum fine authorized by the original fee demonstration legislation, but is instead a maximum sentence of 6 months imprisonment or a $5,000 fine. Terry Dahl, the defendant, will soon be incurring some serious legal costs. Terry contends that he was not recreating when he received his ticket, but was protesting the fees in an exercise of his First Amendment rights. The U.S. attorney, along with the U.S. Forest Service, are, however, determined to use the Dahl case as a tool with which to break the backbone of the growing opposition to the highly controversial Adventure Pass system. And five forest workers have pled guilty for an attack last year on an environmentalist camp in the Alajo Valley of British Columbia. Four of the International Forest Products employees pleaded guilty last Monday to mischief in Squamish Provincial Court and one to assault. The case stems from a raid on September 15th of 1999 by workers upset by environmentalist blockades and vandalism in a campaign to prevent logging in the valley about 95 miles north of Vancouver. Tens of century-old fir trees in the Alajo Valley have become British Columbia's hottest anti-logging battleground in recent years. Interforce spokesman Steve Crombie identified the men as Rick James, Leroy Zoner, Alex McLeod, all of whom work for the company, and Don Kulak and Tom Lloyd, contractors employed by Interfor. All are from Squamish, British Columbia, a logging town about 40 miles north of Vancouver. Crombie said Interfor officials will decide whether to take disciplinary action after the men are sentenced Thursday. Joe Foy of the Western Canadian Wilderness Committee accused provincial government and Royal Canadian Mounted Police officials of favoring the loggers. Only one of the men pleaded guilty to assault, Foy said, but there were over 70 loggers that day, many of them beating people. Foy, who was not present during the raid, said the attackers used Interfor trucks to get to the camp and company radios to communicate. We're concerned that at every turn here, we have not been afforded the protection that we deserve from the Royal Canadian Mounted Police. In other words, a full investigation, he said. It just seems to me that at every turn, the corporations are given far more rights than the citizens. And the Headwaters Environmental Group sues their former director, claims Richard Lee Gwynallen siphoned off nearly $160,000. From Ashland, Oregon, a glance at the checking account of an environmental watchdog group reveals some startling records. Money spent at Victoria's Secret, a jewelry store, and News and Smokes of Medford. Headwaters has submitted these and other canceled checks as evidence in a civil lawsuit alleging its former executive director stole $159,345 from the nonprofit group. The lawsuit, recently filed in Jackson County Court, alleges that Richard Lee Gwynallen, 44, opened a secret bank account and siphoned money into it during an 18-month period ending in mid-April. Gwynallen, a grant writer for the group, took grant checks received at the Headwaters mailbox and deposited them into a hidden account, according to the suit. In a strange twist, the lawsuit names as co-defendants Gwynallen's two wives and alleges that he was married to the two women simultaneously. It isn't clear whether the two women knew of one another, however. According to the suit, one wife, Miraji Gwynallen, received and converted $5,205 from the Headwater account, and his other wife, Allison Coppener, did the same with $42,442. Richard Gwynallen was arrested by Ashland Police in early July on embezzlement charges, was indicted in a Jackson County grand jury for aggravated theft. He pleaded not guilty and faces a maximum of 10 years in jail and a $200,000 fine. Neither wife faces criminal charges, however. Bigamy charges have not been filed against Richard either. Headwaters began as a local organization in the mid-1970s. As it gained success in winning foundation grants, its budget grew from a few dollars to more than $250,000 a year. Gwynallen was hired as an administrative coordinator in February of 1998 and advanced to executive director in August of the same year. Things started going badly shortly thereafter when staffers say grant funding apparently started to dry up. About the same time, in October of 1998, Gwen Allen allegedly opened a bank account at Bank of America. According to the lawsuit, Gwen Allen knew which grant applications had been sent out and which checks to expect. He intercepted incoming checks at the mailbox and then diverted them to the hidden account, the lawsuit says. Board members said Gwen Allen would then tell them that the grant request had been rejected. Gwen Allen apparently set up a separate mailbox for bank account statements so the Headwaters board didn't know about the secret account until June of this year, the lawsuit says. It's a hideous chapter in the Headwaters story, said Chant Thomas, a volunteer and board member since 1984. But we will have better oversight because of it, he says. And during the early morning hours of December 1st, members of the Earthberation Front descended upon a development site in Middle Island, New York, leaving a massive trail of property destruction in their wake. The ELF smashed 200 windows of houses already erected, pulled up survey stakes to delay clear-cutting, donned each structure with slogans denouncing urban sprawl, and monkey wrenched 12 vehicles, such as backhoes and bulldozers, related to the development. This massive attack was issued by the ELF to hopefully prevent some of Long Island's last untouched ecosystems from falling victim to urban sprawl. Urban sprawl is responsible for alteration of over 90% of all ecosystems on Long Island, either through paving, introduction of toxic man-made materials, or through human intrusion into wildlife habitats. The ELF claimed this action was to set a precedent that Long Island's unique pine barren ecosystem will not vanish without a fight. Whether or not this war against urban sprawl will be won is a question still unanswered, yet developers can only withstand so many of these repeated attacks of economic sabotage. Long Island developers have seen what they are up against. Our suggestion is to stop now or face the consequences. In hopes of a sustainable future, go Earth Liberation Front. And a Birmingham grand jury has indicted a Forest Service employee in conjunction with the illegal removal of $285,000 worth of National Forest timber. John R. Stivers from Villa Rica, Georgia, was indicted December 1st for allowing the timber to be removed from an Alabama National Forest, according to a written statement from U.S. Attorney Doug Jones. The 41-year-old was also indicted on 5 counts of making false statements. The charges arose from an investigation of National Forest timber sale contracts from 1995 to 1997 in the Shoal Creek Ranger District, which is in the northern half of the Talladega National Forest and includes the Duggar Mountain Wilderness Area. Stivers was responsible for overseeing timber sales in the Shoal Creek District, which lies northern end of the Talladega National Forest. If convicted, Stivers could face 10 years in prison for a legal tree removal charge and up to a 5-year term for each false statement. Each felony carries a maximum fine of $250,000. Ray Vaughn, an attorney from the Montgomery environmental firm Wildlaw, called the indictment the illegal tip of the iceberg of the gross mismanagement of Shoal Creek. His firm has filed numerous suits and complaints against the Forest Service claiming illegal activities. Vaughn said the problems at Shoal Creek Ranger District range from toxic overuse of herbicides to the sale of large trees when the logger paid for only small trees. The timber was cut and sold without the proper environmental reviews. At least one archaeological site was destroyed, and loggers failed to maintain logging roads, he says. It was just a real mess, Vaughn says. Virtually every regulation and law of the National Forest was broken, but a lot of that was not criminal. Nobody was supervising. Whether somebody was knowingly letting this go on or whether it was see no evil, I don't know. And on Monday, November 28th, Humboldt County Sheriff's deputies at a remote logging protest on the Mattole River watershed failed to protect citizens from homicidal threats and behaviors on the part of loggers acting under the auspices of Pacific Lumber. When contacted on the evening of Monday, November 28th, personnel in the Humboldt County Sheriff's Office, after consultation with the watch commander, stated that no one in the Sheriff's Department was aware of the aforementioned activities, noting that the only way we get informed is if someone gets arrested. Both the Sheriff's Department employee and the Highway Patrol official with responsibility for the region denied awareness of the circumstances surrounding the November 28th protests against Pacific Lumber's depredations of the Mattole watershed. Both parties also denied awareness of any complicity by omission or commission on the part of the Humboldt County Sheriff deputies in the attempted homicides on the part of PL employees reported by forest activists that day. while denying any awareness of the homicidal statements and behaviors reportedly conducted by PL employees in the presence of Sheriff's Department personnel. After all, no PL employees were arrested. The department's dispatcher was able to provide the name of the employee who could answer questions about the department as of 8 a.m. local time on Tuesday. To express questions or concerns about the safety of protesters and or observers in the Matole, you can call Sergeant Jimenez. His number, 707-268-3638. That's 707-268-3638. And those who wish to discuss the Humboldt County Sheriff's Department reported willingness to observe without intervention homicidal and or terroristic threats as well as the homicidal behavior while in uniform may wish to contact the United States Marshals at 213-894-2485. That's 213-894-2485. And to thwart those who threaten murder on behalf of Charles Hurwitz and Pacific Lumber, and those in uniform or out willing to abet them, consider contributions to the Matole Defenders. Their number is 707-441-3828. That's 707-441-3828. Or you can also contact North Coast Earth First. Their number is 707-825-6598. Once again, that's 707-825-6598. And if you'd like to make a donation, you can send it to North Coast Earth First, P.O. Box 28 in Arcata, California, 95518. That's North Coast Earth First, P.O. Box 28, Arcata, California, 95518. And 11 Greenpeace activists were arrested on trespassing charges in Lake Charles, Louisiana, after they parked buses on railroad tracks they say are used to move a toxin to and from a chemical plant, authorities said. The last two protesters arrested had to be forced from inside a concrete vault inside of the buses. Kalkaskaw Parish Sheriff Beth Lundy said some of them were chained inside one bus while others were chained up on top of the other, she said. The activists, all with the international environmental group Greenpeace, said they aimed to block rail shipments of toxic vinyl chloride in and out of a plant operated by PPG Industries Incorporated. Protester Damu Smith said that PPG is the main source of contaminants such as dioxin in southwest Louisiana. Louisiana deserves and demands a toxic-free future, Smith said. And moving on to animal news, cod and western hake stocks in the North Sea are so low that the European Union may ban catches in much of the North Sea this year, predicts the Royal Society for Protection of Birds, a British conservation group. Cod stocks have plummeted so dramatically in the last 20 years that they are now at one-sixth of their level in the 1980s, and some fear they may be beyond recovery. The decline seems to mirror a crash in cod stocks on the Grand Banks of Newfoundland in 1992. The EU Fisheries Ministers will likely make a decision in December on whether to impose a ban. Prohibiting cod fishing in the North Sea might also prevent fishing for other species because cod are caught in the same nets used for whiting, haddock, and flatfish. The Royal Society for the Protection of Birds believes that both overfishing and warming waters are to blame for the cod declines, and the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service has listed the wild Atlantic salmon as an endangered species despite objections from the governor of Maine. The listing places restrictions on Maine's aquaculture industry as well as the production of blueberries, a product almost as famous as the state's lobsters. As a result, Maine Governor Angus King fears people will lose their jobs. Listing the wild Atlantic salmon, quote, severely regulates the irrigation use of the rivers where the fish spawn, reducing the amount of water available for blueberry growers, explained John Ripley, spokesman for Governor King. The listing also means new rules and regulations will go into effect restricting the types of salmon that Maine's aquaculture farms are allowed to raise. Nearly 90% of the state's aquaculture revenue comes from the sale of farm-raised Atlantic salmon. And a compromise deal has been struck that will allow the National Marine Fisheries Service to fulfill its responsibilities to conserve Atlantic shark populations while meeting industry concerns that the agency is using the best science available to make management decisions. The settlement brings closure to disputes that have lingered through 4 years of litigation, and the agreement calls for a panel of independent scientists to review the agency's current and next assessments of shark stocks. The Fisheries Service and industry groups both believe this independent review will promote public confidence in the science underlying the agency's management of Atlantic shark populations. In 1997, Fisheries managers reduced the commercial and recreational catch limits for overfished Atlantic sharks by approximately 50%. The Southern Offshore Fishing Association and Industry Group sued the agency over these commercial quotas. In 1999, the agency further reduced commercial and recreational shark fishing catch limits. In June of 1999, the U.S. District Court in Tampa enjoined the agency's 1999 commercial shark quotas and offered the parties and referred the parties to mediation to settle their disputes. And at this point, we're going to take a little musical break here and take a look at a new CD by Dana Lyons. This one's called WTO Disco.
Corporations, it's a really great day to sidestep nations who just get in the way because their people have too much of a say. But boys, we have got the answer. Free trade, it sounds really good. It spells freedom for the corporate brotherhood. And you need us in your neighborhood with new global employers. Oh, honey, let's join WTO, make lots of money at the WTO. We can change a few laws, fix democracy's flaws. It's the corporate new world order. Unions are a pain in the ass. They cause problems, give executives gas. They want fair wages for the people who work. What a bunch of jerks. Poor children must be taught how to live. They need employment, so they'll have money to give to corporations who are making their clothes. The child labor laws must go. Oh, honey, let's join the WTO. Make lots of money at the WTO. We can change a few laws, fix democracy's flaws. It's the corporate new world order. People of America fret, turtles and dolphins who are caught in the nets. But it takes money to feed all these pests, and that's a free trade barrier. Clean air is a luxury for some, but let's be fair. It's not for everyone, cause goods are cheaper. If you release a little scum, defend your freedom of pollution. Oh, honey, let's join the WTO. Make lots of money at the WTO. We can change a few laws, fix democracy's flaws. It's the carbon.
And you can check out Dana Lyons' website, cowswithguns.com. And Earth First Radio will be right back.